The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Thomas, called Didymus, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples said to him, "We have seen the Lord." But Thomas said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands, and put my finger into the nail marks, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." Now a week later, his disciples were again inside, and Thomas was with them. Jesus came, although the doors were locked, and stood in their midst and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands, and bring your hand and put it into my side. And do not be unbelieving, but believe." Thomas answered and said to him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you come to believe because you've seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and have believed." The Gospel of the Lord. Good afternoon, brothers and sisters. Well, that was lame, and we can do better. Good afternoon, brothers and sisters. That's more like it. You know, for all you liturgical experts out there, you might have noticed I forgot to say the glory at the beginning of Mass. I assure you it's the only mistake I've ever made in my life, and I will therefore make no more, okay? So hopefully you'll forgive me. We have the Feast of St. Thomas the Apostle today, who, according to a tradition from the 3rd century A.D., died a martyr's death while proclaiming the faith on the subcontinent of India. You might find this interesting. It's a tradition that dates from the 3rd century, but it says that the apostle decided who would go and proclaim the gospel where by drawing lots. And one fashion or another, Thomas was assigned to preach to the east, and according to tradition, he went as far as India. And on the Malabar coast of India to this day, there are believers who refer to themselves as Christians of St. Thomas. Kind of interesting. Now, like so many of the apostles, we know very little about St. Thomas. However, at least for Thomas, we have 3 quotations from the scriptures, and every one of them is a gem. For example, at the Last Supper, Jesus turned to his apostles and he said, "I'm going away, but I will come back and prepare a place for you so that where I am, you also may be. Where I'm going, you know the way." Thomas spoke up and said, "Lord, we don't know where you're going. How can we know the way?" And thereby gave us a concrete example of one of the most important lessons in the spiritual life, and that is that in prayer you should always honor God with clarity and simplicity. God already knows what you're thinking. You might as well tell him. Pay God the compliment of being honest. St. Thomas was also the very first apostle to express his willingness to die a martyr's death. When Jesus first announced that he would go to Jerusalem and be crucified, it was Thomas who valiantly stood up in the midst of the other apostles assembled and said, "Let us also go that we might die with him." And yet it was for neither of these statements that Thomas is remembered. But as you know, Thomas goes down in history because of his doubt. Poor Thomas. He's remembered as the man from Missouri. "I'll believe it when you show me," right? And all the apostles were favored with a vision of the Lord. And they said, "We've seen the risen Lord," just like we heard here in our gospel. And he says, "I won't believe it until I place my hands in his wounds, until I place my hands in his side." And what's interesting is St. Augustine once said that it's not by chance that St. Thomas wasn't there at that day. It was all part of the designs of divine providence. Because in St. Thomas expressing his doubts, he helps us when we have to live this faith with our doubts. And I can give you at least 2 ways that's the case here today. First of all, St. Thomas shows us that doubts and uncertainties are not the end of the road of faith. doubts and uncertainties can be a step on the road to faith without being the end of the road. Remember, once upon a time I was stopped in a grocery store by a woman, and you know, this sometimes this happens when you go about wearing your Roman collar. And she said to me, "You know, why is God so mysterious? If you loved someone infinitely, don't you think you'd be, you know, nice and clear about it? Yet God is so mysterious. Why is that the case?" You know what the answer is to that? The answer is that it's in God's nature and it's in your nature. That's the answer. By God's nature, He's infinite and you're finite. God is pure spirit and you're this mixture of spirit and matter. And it's to be expected that interactions between us and God are going to be mysterious. Think about it for a moment. Imagine, you know, you have a pet. Maybe you have a dog. Maybe you have a cat. Maybe you have a hamster. It's not your fault that it's hard for you to communicate with your pet, right? It's the difference in your nature. And yet, there's only a finite difference between you and an animal. But there's an infinite difference between you and God. It's to be expected. And that's why mature faith must grapple with mystery. Do you realize that even in eternity, staring God in the face in the beatific vision, you are still going to be immersed in mystery? Mature faith must grapple with mystery. And Thomas teaches us to persevere. Here's the second way that Thomas's doubts and uncertainties help us as well. It helps us to remember that no matter how deep the darkness of evil in the world, that God's goodness is deeper still. Because do you know why Thomas didn't believe? It was because the crucifixion was such a horrific evil. And when he was told of the resurrection, it just was too great a contrast with the evil that his eyes had seen. And in that sense, the doubts of St. Thomas are the exact same doubts of each and every one of us. Because anytime you hear of horror, one of the consequences is that it makes us doubt the existence of God. Now, into every human life there comes suffering, into every human life there comes hardship. But not everyone must deal with horror. I'm talking about something on the order of a school shooting. They say the reason that Europe lost the faith was because it played host to two world wars. I remember when I was a very young boy speaking with a World War I veteran. And he says, how could that have happened? How could God have let that happen? Whenever we're faced with horror, one of the consequences is it makes us doubt the goodness of God. How could there be such great evil and God also be so greatly good? Those were the doubts of Thomas. Those are our doubts as well. But consider this in helping resolving this doubt. Do you realize how St. Thomas recognized Christ? It was by his wounds, not by looking him in the face. Are you aware that in heaven, we will recognize one another by a glance of the soul? And how could it be otherwise? Until the resurrection of the body, there wouldn't even be any eyes to see. But we'll recognize one another by a glance of the soul. And looking at Christ's wounds, he saw the soul that was the infinite love of God. If you ever have trouble believing in the great goodness of God, surrounded by the horrors of the world around you, seek out love expressed in sacrifice, and it will lead you back to Christ every time. Because before we get to heaven, there are three things which must happen to us, must happen to every last one of us before we get to heaven. Your faith, your hope, and your love must be purified. There is no other way. And in this life, God will bring you to a place in which your faith, your hope, and your love are tested and purified. St. Thomas went ahead of us. He teaches us the value of perseverance in that sense. But it's okay to be disturbed, to be upset by the evil in the world. But just remember, the example of St. Thomas. He helps us to persevere even through the darkness, because St. Thomas was the very first one to look at our Lord and to confess, "My Lord and my God." Let's ask for his prayers to help us in our perseverance as well. St. Thomas the Apostle, pray for us.